Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you what. We sing that song and the little kids start getting, they all took off. Harper's in the back. She's running around. Mama's chasing her. These little guys. Praise God. You know what? Somewhere along the line, religion said you can't run before God. David said, let me show you what I can do before God. If you thought that was bad, I got down to my skivvies last time. The original Mail Review, I guess. But you know what? Praise God that we're free. We can freely worship Him. Devoid of religion. You know, this week I've actually had several conversations with different people about that and how religion kills the relationship. You know, well, you got to do this. You got to bring your spouse this gift on their anniversary. How about if I bestow gifts upon my spouse throughout the year? Or if I just wait once a year to give her a gift, or once a year to take her out, right? But we look at it and just says, well, it's only once a year. Well, Valentine's Day. Oh, come on, it's a Hallmark holiday. Get real. If you understand, from what I've understood about St. Valentine, you really missed the point. It's not about all that Cupid stuff. But I'm excited to see what God's doing in people. I've had people tell me, you know what, Pastor, I've had this breakthrough. I've heard people talking about things, and they're getting it. They're getting past the religious hang-ups, and they're understanding that God is about compassion. He's not out there waiting to thump us. He's not out there waiting to bring judgment. As a matter of fact, that's why He's tarrying so long, so that more people can come to know Jesus Christ, the reason why He sent Him. So, you know, as you're going through your week, and I hope most of you have taken up the challenge to be reading the book of Psalms every day, Proverbs, I'm sorry. Yeah, you'd be reading Proverbs for, 146? Yeah, I'm just going to stop. See, that's how, you know, I derailed. I got both books wrong. Praise God. Let's bless the tithe and offering, shall we? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank You and I praise You, Lord God. That Father, that in spite of even our mistakes and our flaws, Lord, You look in on us and You can even have a good laugh with us. But now, Father, we present to You today our tithe and our offerings. Father, as it has represented the sweat of our toil, Father, it has represented our life, our livelihood. It represents everything that we are. We present it to You, Lord God, holy. Now, Father, I pray that You press it down. You shake everything together, Lord God, and You cause those windows of heaven to open up and pour out the blessings in our lives. Father, that we may be beneficial to our neighbors, that we may pour out blessings in people's lives who don't know us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we have a special guest, but I'm going to let the kids go today. The super kids are dismissed. You know, and I've said this time before, but you know, when we leave our kids in here during praise and worship, a lot of churches, they have a nursery that's running right now. Your kids, as soon as they get in here, they go to the nursery. They never get to see people lift their hands. They never get to see you worshiping. They don't know what worship is. And so that's why we leave them in here. Because, you know, it may sound like they're just hollering back there, but what you don't see, you know, when Carter or Harper is back here hollering, I'll use my two grandchildren, when they're back there hollering, they're dancing. They aren't just hollering at each other. They are dancing. They're shaking. They're clapping. They're lifting their hands. And I see that with Morgan's kids, and I love it. That is what we're supposed to be doing, is being examples to that generation. So, you know, when we're lifting, you know, you focus in on God. And you know if that mother or that father's have, you know, babies are babies. They wake up on the wrong side of the bed sometimes. Oh, wait a minute, people are people, aren't they? Pray for them. Say, Lord, just help that baby. And that baby will get to worshiping God. You know, I watch these boys, they're running back and forth on the thing. But you know what? They're running, they're dancing. Let it be. It's not disturbing anybody but you, because it's not stopping God. Now, if, you know, kids have an obviously a fit, well then, you know, we got good parents in here. But I love seeing this. I love seeing these little guys get to know who God is. All right. So now, speaking of little guys, we have a Miss Kim Harvey here from Heartbeat, who's going to come talk to us about the Heartbeat program, which many of you are familiar with. Some of you may not be. So she's going to talk to you today, I don't know, about the fundraisers, because I see them back here, and some other programs. All right. Kim, would you please come up? All right. Thank you. I don't know. I don't use that one. Yep. It'd be my guess.
I do have a big mouth, but my sixth graders will tell you that. A couple of the kids that had to sit in my class and listen to me are right over there, all grown up now. It's nice to be back here. I see a lot of familiar faces. My husband and I and our kids were attending here for a while, and then when my dad sold the cows and he started going to church, that was something strange for us, because Dad never got to go to church because he was always milking the cows. So when he started going to church, then we all kind of gathered where Mom and Dad were to be with our family. But I sure have missed Angela's singing. Because I get to visit a lot of different churches all over Morrow County and tell them a little bit about what's going on at Heartbeat and thank them for all they're doing. And so I get a little taste of what's going on at a lot of churches, and nobody can touch your music. Don't tell them I said that, but it is true. And I think God really does have a job for all of us and have some plan for all of us, because when I was a little kid growing up out at Pleasant Grove Church of Christ, the pastor's wife was our Sunday school teacher. She liked our class, so she moved with us all the way up, Norma Neumeister, and she'd get done with the unit, she'd say, "What do you want to learn about next?" And I'd go, "Other religions," and she'd go, "No." But what I meant was, you know, what makes the Catholic Church different than the Baptist Church, different than the Methodist Church, and God knew that was a curiosity of mine, and so now I get to visit them all, and the fun thing is, it's like cake, it's all cake. There's a lot of different flavors of cake. At the end of the day, it's all cake, and if they're worshiping God and they have the Bible, everybody's got their own flavor on it. So I really enjoy my job that they gave to me, because I talked the ear off of someone that was a wrong number at Heartbeat once and told them all about Heartbeat. So they're like, "We have another job for you," and that's how I got to be here. But as I was coming in, I ran into the Henshaws. And I said, "I was speaking for Heartbeat today." And she laughed, and she goes, "What's Heartbeat?" Because if you don't know, she's a volunteer and really, really works her tail off out there. So she can tell you a lot about what's going on. But if you're unaware, we're a crisis pregnancy center. Was started by Tammy Brown clear back in the 80s, 1982, because she was a young married the person she was married to a football player, college football player, and she was a nurse when they found out they were having a baby. And it was stressful to them because that was not their plan, that was not in their schedule, but it was in God's schedule. And they had a lot of people that stepped up to help them through that process because they were away from home and they were alone and they were scared. And so she wanted to be there for other people who might be in that situation where they're young and they're alone and they're scared, because she realized it's not just good enough to tell people choose life and then to pat them on the back and send them on their merry way, but you got to be there to help them out. So she opened up her home and was offering pregnancy tests right there at home at her house and counseling at her table. The very first week that she advertised here in Morrow County in the Shopper's Compass, she had three people reach out to her, and all three of them were abortion-minded. And she was able to talk with all of them, and all three of them decided that, you know, being a parent was something that God had in mind for them and had a plan for them. And she still sees one of those babies out walking around now. So when God pushes you and urges you, it's important that we listen, because he knows what we should be doing. So This year has been a little different with COVID, of course. I'll give you some updates first, and then I want to share with you a little bit about how we share with the girls, and hopefully something you can take out into your week and use too. So that this isn't just a commercial, but something that we can all work on this week. So we only shut down for 2 weeks. We had volunteers that were willing to come in. We kept our hotline open the whole time. So when someone needed something, sometimes there were deliveries being made. We did have to stop doing the parenting videos because we have parenting videos that they can earn a baby buck for watching the video and a baby buck for doing the homework. And we love that because not all of our girls are readers. I say girls, but we have a couple guys that are clients too that have custody of little ones or have little ones on the weekends, and they have needs and they come to us. But when you get to sit down and go through the sheet of a parenting video and share your experiences of what it was like for you growing up or what it was like, you know, raising your kids, it helps us to make that connection and build those relationships with them because for many of these young people, that's how they ended up in the situation that they're in. They were looking for someone to love them and to be with them and a missing piece, some sort of family, some sort of connection. And instead, they often ended up alone. Some of them are very alone, which is this them and the baby that's on the way. And so we want to build those relationships so we can get to the point where we can talk to them about God because we get no money from the government. So we can pray with them and we can talk with them about our faith. And hopefully that gives them the hope and fills the needs that nothing else can fill. And hopefully gets them through the doors of a church where they can get connected with the church family in the cases especially where their own families have not been there for them. So we've missed that part of being able to sit and be in the same room with them. So thank heaven we are again allowed to do that. That's newly been opened back up. But we do also have devotional books and self-help books that the ladies and gentlemen can check out. We've got a whole shelf for guys and you know some that are devotionals that we kind of urge them to take first. They're thin. We have multiple copies of them, and if it's something that speaks to them, they can keep that and they don't have to bring that back. If they underline some things or they want to share it with someone or it was important to them, we don't need them to turn that back in like a library book. They can keep that. And one of our clients gave me permission to use hers because as they're shopping, we're looking over what they wrote. They have to write. She got 4 baby bucks for going through a book called Know Your Bible. It was a thin, kind of easy read, and so it had a little bit about each book of the Bible. And I think a lot of us can benefit from reading that because we kind of forget how it all fits into place, or it's nice just to see a little summary, a little reminder. You know, my husband says, I was raised in church, but I wasn't listening. So as he gets a little intimidated in an adult Bible study because he doesn't feel solid in the Word because he was screwing around. But, you know, and that's how a lot of us, you know, we all have a little bit of ADHD. We're trying to listen, and then we're grocery shopping in our head, And so it's a really good resource. But what she got out of it, she was supposed to first list 10 books and just say, you know, something that she learned about that book of the Bible. So I won't read you all these because she's got a lot of stuff here. But a couple that stuck out to me, she wrote down 2 Samuel because it talks about Samuel becoming Israel's greatest king, but he also had flaws. So that stuck out to her that he wasn't perfect, but God had a job for him. She wrote down Ecclesiastes because it talked about how without God, our life is empty and unsatisfying. She wrote down Song of Solomon because it talked about how married love is a beautiful thing worth celebrating. And she was not a married lady, but that was something that she really wanted for her life and something that was on her heart. She was supposed to write down 10 new people that she learned about and then 10 new things that she learned. And the very first thing she wrote down that she learned that she didn't know before was that Cain murdered his brother Abel. And sometimes we take for granted that those things that are just common knowledge to us that are here at church are not common knowledge to everybody. A lot of people's, you know, understanding of Bible stories or Bible references are from TV or movies or other books. And you know, that's one of the basic ones. That's in the first book. And she had no idea that, you know, God created these people, and right away they start killing each other. She had no idea that that was in there. And so that was eye-opening to me. I think I grow a lot when I read their reports as well. She wrote down that God allowed people to suffer in testing their faith, and that Job lost his farm and his family and everything that he owned. And that's important to take note of, because he didn't lose his faith. And so I'm glad that stuck out to her, because some of these ladies are in a spot where they feel like they have lost everything. And so to see a story about someone who truly lost everything and then got back up is gives them hope. She wrote down that Proverbs is a collection of tips for living, and she liked that. She wrote down that a lot of people struggled in the Bible, and that was something that she didn't know. She thought these are all happy stories and rules, and that's a misconception for a lot of our clients when we get to talk with them. And kind of going what you were saying about religion, it's like, he read my notes. She's the 21st thing she learned is that religion isn't just about ritual, that God is about treating people with love. And so she picked up on that. That was an awakening for her. So I do love that we have these books that they can take with them and learn. And so they're helping themselves. They're pulling themselves up by the bootstraps. They're reading. They're learning about God. They're learning about family. And they're earning those baby bucks. If they can get used things, 6 to 8 outfits for each of their kids, you know, every other month, you know, without any baby bucks. But for the new baby beds and the used strollers and the high chairs and the diapers and the things like that, they're earning those baby bucks. And in that way, they're learning and they're helping themselves and they're growing. And we see them sometimes helping each other and forming networks and putting baby bucks in her folder because she needs a baby bed because she's due first. And then we'll work on this high chair for me because that's what I'll need next. And so we love that. So I'm glad that the numbers coming back up and people are coming back in again. But we did have a steady flow of clients. One of our clients that we made diaper deliveries to had a blood clot right when everything was all shut down. She's got several little ones, and she just collapsed and had to be rushed to the hospital. And so Heartbeat was able to find out who was taking care of her kids and get some diapers out there and to pray for her. And the family called in and gave us updates on how she was doing and really appreciated the prayer, because I don't think sometimes when we tell people on Facebook or someone in passing, oh my gosh, I'll pray for you, how much that really does mean to them, because especially if they don't come to church, they sometimes think that their prayers don't count and that somehow yours are going to count more, which we know isn't true, but there's just so many misconceptions when you get to talk to these young people that are just learning all of this. So they really appreciated that. We did get to do some changes at Heartbeat that God had planned for us that we did not have planned. He works funny ways like that. I stopped in when I knew nobody was going to be there because I needed to pick up some bottles for a church. And it was 4:00, and I'm like, wait a second, why is the day shift still here? I see cars, and it was because they were carrying things upstairs as fast as possible because water was coming in. So it was like God wanted me to be there right then, and then the afternoon shift or the evening shift, they showed up and they helped too. But there was a problem with the storm drain, and so water was backing up into the basement, and that's where we have all of our stuff stored down there. And we've always it's divided into little rooms and things, and we've always thought about changing some things and making it run more efficiently, but we never took that step. Well, God decided while we were slow, he would wet things down and get us going. So the drywall down there is gone now. The dividers are out of the way. It works so much better. He was right. The floor's really clean now. So, but if that would have happened on a Thursday after 8:00, that would have been catastrophic because no one would have been there until Monday. That water would have come up. We have things down there in totes and things, so we didn't lose any of our stuff, just some drywall and some particle board on the bottom shelves, you know, stuff that was easily, you know, that was not a big deal. But if that would happen on a Thursday night, that water would have gotten all the way into the diaper room, and that would have looked like something from a TV sitcom if all of those diapers would have exploded. I can't even imagine the loss and the mess that would have been. So he has our back, like he has since Tammy started this in her kitchen. Every time there's a stumbling block, he just smooths it right out. We have seen that he has moved problems out of our way and blessed us over and over and over. Every time we're like, oh no, we're like, oh, thank God. You know, every time we say, oh no, we have to turn around and say thank God, because he's really been with us. But the big push that we're really trying to reach out with the young people that come in, and I keep saying young people, we have a couple of grandmas that have custody of little ones, and you know, that's not what they had signed up for. They were in retirement, they're on fixed income, and now they have these little ones. And so we do, we have you know, all kinds of different people coming in and needing Heartbeat for a variety of different reasons. But we're really trying to make sure that we talk to every single client about prayer before they go. And that was something we started before COVID, but what better time to really focus on that? Because these are uncertain times. And so they have no idea what's going on. And many of them, their situations really changed. A lot of them were working in the service industry. A lot of them were working in stores and working in restaurants when the whole world shut down. And so their income shut down, and so a lot of them had to turn their heat way back, or sometimes their heat got turned off, a few of them told us, and they came in looking for blankets. And luckily we had a surplus of blankets this year, because God saw that coming too. And so we were able to run a promotion where every kid got a free blanket, didn't have to do baby bucks with that. We had some fleece blankets that had been tied up by kids from Cardington in the after-school program. We had a quilt group that had made blankets. Some people had knitted and crocheted afghans. So we just had a lot of really nice blankets. And that was a neat thing for the older kids, because as our clients were coming in, they had their school-agers with them, because they weren't at school this time. So the school agers usually come in and they're like so bored, because we only go up to age 5. You know, we don't have enough space for the other stuff. And so there's not really anything there for them. So to be able to tell those second and third and even seventh graders, hey, you know, you could pick out a blanket and take with you. They were really excited to go into the blanket room, which was just fuzzy and soft all over. It was a very comforting place to go in there, pick out blankets. So that was really neat. And I think God saw that coming. He knew that they were going to have trouble with their heat, and he made sure we had plenty of blankets to go around. But when I do get to pray with a client and talk to them about faith, if I get to share with them, Psalm 139 is the one that really speaks to me the most, and the one that I like to share with them. And I'm sure as I start to read it, it'll be familiar to you. Now all of my little post-it notes rolled over. The devil does that in my bag. There it is. Okay, Psalm 139, 13 through 16 says, For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And that is, to me, just such a moving section, because it takes away all of our fears if you really believe it and own it and drink it in. And I've used this analogy here before, but I love it. I don't know where I heard it, but it's like life is a puzzle, and God has seen the outside of the puzzle box. He knows there's a million pieces, and he knows where all of them go, and he knows what a beautiful picture is going to make. And all we can see is our one piece. And we turn it around, and we can't make heads or tails of it. We don't know where it's supposed to go, and we try it in a lot of places, it doesn't go. And we make a lot of mistakes, and sometimes we try really hard to make it fit in a spot that it won't fit. And when it does fit where it's supposed to be, and it snaps into place, that is so satisfying, that little snap. And if we look for them, we see those moments in our life when God moves us where we're supposed to be and snaps us right into place. And they're there all the time. We just have to be aware. One of those times for me was when someone came to our church and talked about Heartbeat. And as they were talking, I thought, you know, I bet they have some of my Cardington kids there. You know, they're in Mount Gilead. I've been teaching for a while. And, you know, over the years, there have been a few girls that just could care less about school and were all about the boys. And I thought, one in particular was heading, you know, popped into my mind. And I thought, I told the other teachers, I'm like, I don't know, we got to derail that little one there. She's just not going to make it through school without a baby on her hip, you know, and that's gonna slow her down in her goals. And it was something that was on my heart when she was 10. And so I came up at the end when he was talking to people. I said, hey, if you ever get any Cardington girls, I'm going to give you my number. You can call me. Maybe I can help. And he said, well, why don't you just sign up to be a volunteer, and then you'll be there when they show up. I'm like, well, I'm kind of busy, but, you know, so I signed up, and I'm so glad I did. And God made sure that I knew that's exactly what I was supposed to have done, because we went through our first day of training, and they're giving us a little tour. In the back room, they had a bulletin board that had all these mamas and their babies, pictures of them on the back of our clients. Right there on the top was that little girl, that 10-year-old girl that I thought would end up with a baby on her hip, and she did. And as just God making it so clear to me, he makes it clear to me when I'm on the wrong path, but he makes it so clear to me when I'm on the right path. Oh, it usually doesn't get me like that, but it did. but those moments are there. And to get to share that with these clients, are like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. I'm scared. I can't be anybody's mom. I don't know what I'm doing. To tell them that even those of us that planned and had struggles to get to that point, it took us a whole year to get our daughter. And then when she came, I was scared to death. You know, none of us know what we're supposed to do, but God sees the outside of that puzzle box. He's omniscient, and he knows. And so we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about it during COVID or whoever's in office or whatever is happening in our world. If we've got our faith, we know that that was his plan. You know, even if that's not what we wanted to happen, even if there was loss, even if we got out of a job or into a job that we didn't want and we feel like everything is going wrong, that's what God wanted, because that was part of his plan. And so if we can read that verse and trust in that, it just takes such a huge weight off of our shoulders, because it removes that worry. Sometimes I joke that I've stressed that too much with my kids, because they want to do something sometimes, and I'm like, I don't know who's driving. I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think you should do that. And they're like, Mom, God knows the number of my days. And if today is my day and you don't let me go, I'm probably going to choke on chicken right here in your kitchen. You know, so, but it reminds me to hear my words coming through them that all of our worrying is for naught. Because God has it under control, even when we feel like it's falling apart. Another verse I like to share with them is in Joshua. I'm sorry, I got to the wrong one. Ephesians, Ephesians 2. Because this is our main message that we're trying to get to them. It's a message of grace and of forgiveness, because so many of them are afraid to come through the doors because what they know about church is what they've seen on TV. And some of, and there are a lot of great Christian things on TV. And then there's a lot of things that paint us in a way that we don't necessarily want to be painted. Just, you know, every profession has their great people and their people that are not doing so hot, you know, in you know, good teachers, bad teachers, great lawyers, shady lawyers. And it's no different that with Christians, sometimes the picture that that they see and what sticks in their mind is someone who's setting a bad example. And so so they often feel like this is a place of judgment and that the Bible is a book of rules. And so if we can get them to understand that all of these things that are going on now, and people are like, oh my gosh, the world is so horrible. Well, there are things that have happened in here that are so horrible they will just chatter your teeth. And good, godly people that did horrible things, and God was still able to pick them up and clean them back off and set them on the right path, because we can never go too far down the wrong path to turn around and come back. When we're down on our knees and then we're at our bottom, we might as well pray while we're down there. It's the only way we're going to be able to stand back up. And I think Ephesians makes that really clear to me. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, it says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." And that's important for them to know, that just because when they come in, you know, I'm, you know, some lady that goes to a church that's wearing a dress, that doesn't mean I'm better than them, and it doesn't mean that I don't have a whole bunch of sins I don't really want to share with anybody else that God already knows about, and it doesn't mean that I don't screw up and sin again. They need to know that we're real, and sometimes they're afraid that the people inside the church aren't real. And so we really got to break down that barrier and let them know when they come in to get this stuff, when they always say thank you. I've never had anybody that I feel like is taking too much or is unappreciative. They always say thank you. And I always say, you know, you're welcome, but it's not me. I didn't bring any of these things in. It's the area churches. It's the Morrow County churches that have donated these things, that have donated money so we can keep the light on and we can make sure that we've got the size 4 diapers if we run low on those. It's the churches that love you and want to make sure that you have the things that you need. And the look of surprise on their face sometimes is shocking, because they're like, really, me? And all that I've done, and in my situation, the churches want to help me out. And sometimes they are really surprised about that. And so we hope that we're doing something to break that down and get them in here. If they'll come in and they'll take some notes on their bulletin, they can get a baby buck for that. And so that is wonderful. That's our favorite way for them to earn baby bucks. The next part of that, after it says that we're all sinners, the next part is my favorite part. I've got it circled 4 times. It says, but. So we're all sinners, but. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. And it's by grace that we've been saved. And they have no idea what grace is. They think that grace is something grandma says at Christmas and Easter, or it's a girl in their study hall. They don't realize that it's this gift that God wants to give to them, that they don't have to wait until they're good enough to earn it. He's just giving it to you right now if you will just take it. It is by grace that you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Because it's by grace that you've been saved through faith. And it's not from yourselves. And so many of us, when we get into problems, think that we can fix it ourselves. You know, it's like our kids when they get into a mess and we're like, why didn't you come and tell me? And I wonder how many times does God look down and go, why didn't you come and tell me? Because, you know, he saw us when we were knit together in our mother's womb. He knows when we're struggling. We're not hiding anything from him. He's already aware. So we may as well come and tell him. We just can't save ourselves. It is a gift of God, and it's not by work, so that no one can boast. So the preacher doesn't get any extra credit heaven points. We don't get any extra heaven points for volunteering. We can't earn our way in. It doesn't matter how good his sermon is. It makes God happy and is doing his work. But, you know, his reward is an extra credit heaven points. It's that you're growing. It's that you're getting, you know, on your journey. So it's not by work, so that none of us can boast. None of us can be good enough to earn our way in. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And that, one of the first time I read that, after I had thought about, you know, God moving our puzzle piece around, God prepared it in advance for us to do. It's like he knew I was going to be here. He already knew that when I was little. I was probably about 3 years old. That's the earliest I can remember back. I remember my sister being coming home from the hospital as a baby. And my mom was in a group at Pleasant Grove called Right to Life. And she went to a lot of different fairs and had tables and talked with people. And I sat under the table and ran around and acted crazy in the back. And I saw a lot of material that was probably way too, well, it was definitely way too advanced for me to be looking at images. But I asked questions about those images, and my mom told me, you know, what I was looking at. And God was, as a little kid, God had a job for me to do. And he was planting those seeds. And I think when these young people come in and they feel like they're lost, they have to just remember, God is your GPS. He knows where you're going next. You just got to ask him. You just got to pay attention. You just got to look at it, because none of us knows what's going to happen next with our government or COVID or... Yeah, you know, when they told us, oh, get together 2 weeks of stuff because we're going to shut down school, I was like, whatever. I've been teaching for a quarter of a century. We don't shut down for 2 weeks. That's not going to happen. And then lo and behold, there went all of my kids, and I never got to see them again until school started. And we can't plan the way that we want to plan. And they are in a spot where nothing that they have planned is exactly what's happening right now. And so if we can take that stress off of them and make sure that they have the diapers, that they have the clothes. Let's cover that. Let's cover your needs. Let's make sure you have what you need for your little one. And then let's touch your soul, and let's make sure that we can relieve some of that stress and let you know that God's got your back. We always ask them if they have anything that they would like to put on our prayer list, and nobody ever says, nope, I'm fine. Nobody ever says that. You know, they always have something that they would like us to pray for, and our volunteers pray for them. And so I want to challenge you this week on Facebook all the time, and I'm saying, you're in my prayers. It, make sure that they are. You know, make sure that you really are praying for those people that you said you're going to pray for, and touch back with them. And if you're face-to-face and they're a hugger and not a mask wearer and they're okay with you hugging them, when you're hugging them, pray for them while you have them. I started trying to do that. Well, it was before COVID. When I felt like someone needed a hug, while I had them in the hug, I just started praying for them. And they usually start crying because it's a really emotional connection. I'm not just talking about our heartbeat clients, but my other friends, because we all need prayer. And as long as there is state testing like there is this week, there will always be prayer in school, because I have to sit there and be quiet for 2 hours. That's a lot of prayer time. So I prayed 2 hours last week in class and school, and nobody could stop me. I'll do it again this week while they're doing the math one. But I just want to thank you guys so much, because God is really moving at Heartbeat, and he's blessing us. And it's something that he loves, and it's something that you have been part of. Yeah, so we've got the baby bottles back there. I think, you know, if you're cleaning out your pockets, drop that change in the bottles, and it helps us to keep those lights on and pay those bills. And we also have the Walk for Life coming up. That's always the Saturday before Mother's Day. It is not a 5K run. It is a leisurely walk. If it was running, I probably wouldn't sign up for it. It starts out usually with Eight Sisters Bakery Donuts. So I'm hoping that COVID hasn't taken that off the plate. I may have to bring my own donut. I don't know. Pre-packaged donuts or something. We got to have something to get us going. But that's just a great opportunity to talk to people about Heartbeat, to talk to people about your faith, and see if they want to come and do that with you, and just to walk through the town and people go, what are those crazy people doing? And to find out those are Christians from the churches and people from the churches that want to be here for the young people that have got babies that are struggling, that have chosen life, and they want to help them out. So we appreciate you for being the hands and feet of God and helping us to be able to do what we do. And I've got sign-up sheets if anybody's interested in knowing more information about any of it. Of course, you can ask Sarah too, because she knows all about Heartbeat. We are so glad to have her. So thank you very much for letting me spend time with you today.
I'll take that. Now, Kim, when are the baby bottles to be collected?
Whenever?
Okay. Okay, you already turned that off. All right. Okay. So, but yep, there's a box full back here. Fill them up. It's easy to do. I found a pile of change in the corner of my barn where I sold my truck to Jesse. He emptied all my stuff out, put it in a box. The box sat in the corner for 4 years. And it deteriorated, and all the change was on the floor. So I bet you there's $15 in quarters. Because I don't carry change in my pockets. I throw it in the truck, and then I go in the store, and change is in my truck. They give me more change. So you know where the coin shortage happened, right? Not just me. I know I'm not the only one who's got an ashtray or a console full of quarters and such. So praise God. Well, you know, as we're finally breaking into a new season, I mean, I praise God for this beautiful weather. And there's something that's happening all across this county, all across the state. Farmers are getting into fields. I saw something. I was telling Bob this morning, I had even told Joshua when I saw it. I said, I seen something I haven't seen, I bet, in 20 years. And it was a John Deere tractor in the field with plows, real plows, not just cultivators and such like that. This guy was turning a field under. And you don't see that all the time anymore, but a lot of them are chisel plowed or such. And I know I'm throwing a lot. If you're not a farmer, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Half the time, I don't. My boys are like, Dad, that's not what he's doing. Well, you know what I meant. And but a couple weeks ago, they came and did the field behind my house. And, you know, they turned it all under, and we were like, woohoo! Yeah, getting them. Because I like it when they do that, because, you know, I have a vision for some things at the house, and what it requires is a lot of rocks. And, you know, I know every farmer that in this county has got rock piles in their fence rows where they scoop them up. And, you know, and so I've got permission on this guy's property. He said, anywhere you see rocks, go get them. Knock yourself out. As a matter of fact, he told me about that. He tore some trees down. And he said, here, he said, just knock yourself out. And then he says, well, wait a minute. For you, maybe don't knock yourself out. And as I'm watching over the last couple weeks, you know, it's been rain. When they first did it, all the smell of the earth just wafted in the air. And, you know, and you could see you could kind of make out rocks a little bit. But as the rains have come down, they've washed all the dirt off of the rocks. And so now I can see a rock 500 yards across the field if it's decent size. And, you know, which means it's about like that big, which will do something to the equipment. And so I have plans to go get them. But today, or the other day, God began talking to me about, you know, what today's message is to be. Because you see, that field in the Bible, you know, she talked about all the different people and stuff. There's another thing that happens. The Bible has all different analogies and comparisons to believers, from anywhere from sheep to fields to grapevines to fig trees. It's in there. And even to gold and silver, yeah. But one of the things that Jesus talked about was comparing us to a field. And, you know, as I sat there and I looked and I saw, you know, all them rocks, man. You know, I'm a little excited because, man, you know, my fake stream is going to look really cool one of these days. And I've got quite a pile of rocks going on behind the house or behind the barn. And, but as I'm thinking about this, God reminded me years ago, even when we were on Douglas Street, I did a message about the rocks. You know, we look at these soils and we see that there's, you know, all kinds. Over here, we've got high clay content. You go over to the western side of the county and further west, there's a lot more topsoil. And I'll tell you where the topsoil is in the field behind my house. It's in my waterway. Because we dug this year to put in a drain, and we dug down that far, and we hit concrete in that waterway. And the guy that was digging it asked his dad, because his dad had lived there since the 50s. And he said, Dad, that we hit this concrete thing down in there. And he said, you know what? I remember back in the day that the water would run through there quite regularly. And he said, so they made that, and they would bring their cans of milk and set them down in that, and that would be in water, and that cool water would keep the milk cool. And the milk truck didn't have to come up the drive. He could just come over there and pick them up and put them on his truck. It was that far under dirt. And it was all black, beautiful dirt. So it's all the topsoil out of that field. But, you know, they have to keep adding things back. You know, you have to keep adding organic material. You know, sometimes the ground is, if it's got too high a clay content, it holds water. It needs to be able to drain water. So we need the proper amount of sand. We need the proper amount of rocks. If you got stony ground, well, it's too, you know, it's going to be too dry and too arid for the most part because all the water's going to go away and you're never going to have enough moisture. And, you know, so God began showing me some things more about this as I was getting ready. So in your Bibles this morning, turn to Luke. Chapter 8. Get my little cheat marker here. In verse 5. This is the parable of the sower, if you hadn't figured out where I was going. A sower went in to sow his seed, and he sowed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop of 100-fold. And then when he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He's saying, listen up, I'm not necessarily talking about a physical crop here on the earth. Now, I'm going to jump to Matthew, even though right after that, he explained the parable. But I like Matthew's catching of it. Chapter 13 and verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. Now, what this is, for the most part, most of you know, there's just a little bit of that field that the farmer can't quite get to. Whether it be trees, whether it be a fence, they're off of it just a little bit away. So the ground isn't prepared. See, our hearts have to be prepared for the Word of God. That's why we come in and we praise the Lord. We begin preparing. I've heard one person explain it as praise is a plow. It begins to turn that ground and work it over. And as you begin to do that, then your heart is able. And the Word said, what Jesus said was that the people by the wayside, they're good ground. It just, something happened and they never got the chance for the word to take seed. Now, I can relate with Scott a little bit on, you know, when you're a kid, you're like, man, I got so many, hey, what's this, what's cool? You know, it's just so many things. But as adults, here's what I'm here to tell you. Even Paul said, when I'm a child, I did what children do, right? Anybody do childish things as a child? Well, if you're still doing childish things as an adult, grow up. But what we have to do is then we have to start disciplining ourselves, challenging ourselves, get in the Word and get to church. Get the ground plowed up, open your heart so that you may receive the seed. See, the devil's waiting. He's waiting right there, just boom, to take that seed away from you. He doesn't want you to get the revelation that God's not about rules and regulations. If it was, he would have had a lot more than, that's my tree, don't touch it. That's all there was to it. So the enemy comes in and he steals the seed. So it can never grow to fruition. But he who received the stone on or the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. See, stony ground, I've always told, after a while, I began learning a lesson. Somebody told me this once, that if you ever want grass to grow, put a driveway in. If you think I'm kidding, look out there. The grass is growing great in the drive. We're going to have to scrape, and we got to do some work out there, but just put in a driveway. Why? Because the water's running through there a little bit, but there's no root. There's absolutely no root to it because there's no soil. We were never designed to grow, you know, as a planting, to grow in stone. We were designed to grow in soil. And the seed is grown, designed to grow in us. And if our hearts are so stony, And here's what years ago I related the stone to, was the things that we're holding on to. Unforgiveness being number one, which develops into bitterness and anger. And when we have unforgiveness in our hearts, it becomes a stone. And folks, the more unforgiveness, the bigger that boulder gets. Now, you know, I do know enough to be dangerous about some of the stones and how things happened out through here. And, you know, knowing that, well, these stones, some of them came through with the glaciers and they were broken up off of bigger rocks and they came from mountains as they, you know, all this stuff is pretty wild when you stop and think, where has that rock come from? And the rock is made up of little chemical or minerals, and minerals are made up of chemical elements. See, I just did my science this morning. I got three science teachers in here this morning. I'm like, I got three sets of eyes eyeballing me. I'm like, oh, Jesus, please. And so they're made up of things, but even the chemical elements are made up of things that are the earth creates itself naturally, just like oxygen. It's created naturally, and it's replenished naturally through the trees and through the plants. And so the chemical elements are also replenished, and then the minerals become replenished, and then the rocks could grow, but there's a sequence they have to fall into, which I'm not getting into, because now we involve math, my least favorite subject. But we look at these rocks, and the more that those chemical elements came in to line up in that spot, the bigger that rock grew, and the more they were compressed. These veins of coal, we know that they're remains from dinosaurs and plants and things of that nature. I love looking at pieces of coal that they dug out. And, you know, there's a fern leaf in it. Where my dad grew up for the most part, where he was born at, was a little tiny shack in outside Sutton, West Virginia. And there's a picture of it with my grandpa and my grandma. Now, my grandma was about 4'11", stretched out. Okay, so if you ever wonder where I got the shorter legs, I can thank my grandma. But the shack is in the back, and it was built right into the side of the mountain, and the goat they had was always on the top of the house. It had dirt floors, by the way. There was no floors in it. It was dirt floors. And they burned coal because all they had to do was go right around the corner, and the coal seam was right there, and they'd take a hammer, and they'd bust the coal out of off the ground and bring it in and burn it. So it was right there, and I think, man, you know, that is pretty phenomenal, because, you know, there's coal miners in my family as well, and, you know, they were down in those mines and, you know, died of black lung and all that. But all these rocks are made up of something. And then you get to the soil. Well, soil has to have organic compounds added back to it. And if they don't get it, and we have one real great way to put it back in, it's called manure. The cow eats the grass, digests it, we put it back on the fields, and it starts adding it back. My grandpa had a garden here outside Johnsville, and when he started planting that garden, I mean, you could go out and make pottery out of it. It was just pretty much solid clay. It was garbage ground. But over the 40 years that he lived there, he kept bringing in manure. And I was all the time going out with the scraps when I was little, throwing the scraps out there in the garden. He'd go out there and till them up. By the time when he did die, there was soil there, because he had added so much organic material back into it. The woods, you go in the woods, the most fertile ground you're ever going to find is in the woods, because there are limbs that are rotting. Last year's plants are rotting. The leaves are rotting. They're constantly going down, and it's just awesomely fertile. But when we have stony ground, you can have that, but if there's a bunch of rock in it, the rock is going to keep the plants from growing. Oh, yeah, it's going to look healthy. I mean, this morning when I got here, there was a couple of plants out there in the rocks. That's rock. We've got the paper underneath it to keep stuff from growing up through. But there were plants this tall. They looked good. They were healthy. Walked right over, pulled them right up. They had no root. They weren't going to last long. They were doing okay because we've had rain and they haven't had the heat. But as soon as the heat comes, how many of you know, she talked about it this morning, everybody in the Bible was tried. A little heat comes into our lives. By the way, the heat comes whether you believe in Christ or not. I'd just rather be with Christ. And so when the heat came, the seed, the plant withered because it had no moisture. And that's another thing I liked. I believe it was Luke talked about. He said, because there was no moisture, it had no water. Many people, I heard a preacher one time equate it like I said, you got to have the sun, amen? You got to have Jesus Christ. You got to have the sun. But if all you got is sun, all you have is the word without revelation. You need the Holy Spirit, which is the water. The Holy Spirit reveals the word. That's the point of the Holy Spirit, is to reveal the truth of God. So if you don't have enough moisture, what happens? The plant, the seed that was planted about forgiveness, it grew up and you're doing good, but you won't let the Holy Spirit truly reveal that you've got to let that person go. It'll get choked out and it's going to die. So you got to make sure that these stones, these hurts, you're letting them go. You're forgiving the person, and whenever it comes up, you say, I forgave him. I'm not stirring the poo pot again. We talked about that in Proverbs, didn't we? An angry man is one who stirs strife. He's out there in your septic tank just doing the... So, yet he has no root in himself, but I stopped too soon. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Because he can't. He can't forgive. He can't believe. I mean, come on. We think that we've been, oh, Lord, I've had such a trying week. Oh, this has just such been a miserable week. I've got, God is developing me the patience of Job. Talk to me in 6 months. Because that's what historians believe it took for Job. He was scraping boils off his backside with pottery. Anybody had to do that? Nope. We haven't had to do this stuff yet. Oh, things just didn't go my way. You're going to have days like that. I start singing, Mama said there'd be days like this. I've had a whole week like that. Okay, so what? Get up. Keep charging. Keep going after it. Now, he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. There's another one. And I liked, and it's funny how God has put the things that you said today, and they're lining right up. How many of us were thinking about our shopping list? How many of us were thinking about tomorrow? I've told you, you come in here, quit thinking about tomorrow. This is your sanctuary. Leave tomorrow in the future. Don't let the cares. And he even said to riches. So many people are trying to figure out how they're going to be rich. If you fully understand that at one time the government took the gold, and now we're on paper with a promise from a government that is known to lie. You're going to trust in that? Trust in God. The one who was able to make manna on the ground. And when they were wanting meat, he caused quails to fly in at knee high. I mean, that's pretty awesome. He provided water. Their shoes didn't wear out. Anybody ever been able to do that? 40 years, and your shoes didn't wear out? I bought a $200 pair of Red Wing boots. 6 months later, they're garbage. I'm sorely disappointed with them. The soles just disappeared. And they're good. They're a good name boot. But you see, folks, if we keep our faith in the things around us, they're going to go. There's one thing for certain. It all burns. Nothing here is worth letting the word of God go from your life. That he provided salvation once and for all. You don't have to keep going back and getting saved every 5 days. You mess up, I tell you, you're forgiven already. Did you know that? You are forgiven before you even go ask, because he forgave you back then. But we ask for the forgiveness for us so that we can set the record straight. We need the reset button. Anybody had to push the reset button a few times? I'd ask you how many this week, but... But you see, we got to stop letting the devil steal our joy and our peace. I was talking with my mom last night, and we were just talking about all the stuff that's going on. And she says, and here's what's strange, Art. I have no fear. I said, that's because you have your faith in God and not in man, not in our government, not in our medical system, nothing. Your faith is in God. It doesn't mean that we don't have a government. It doesn't mean that we don't have a medical system. It doesn't mean that we don't have a monetary system. It just means my faith is in none of that. My faith and trust is in God. Now, but he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. Remember, Proverbs tells us in all of our getting to get understanding. He who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. There's going to be some things, folks, I'm going to look at it like this. You're not all going to produce the same fruit off of the same message. Some people may have really got something out of the last two weeks of about dealing with anger. Others may not have. Somebody may get something out of today, and you may go out here just fired up and lit up. Or it may just take some time, and then all of a sudden, you get it. That proverbial light bulb comes on. I got it. And when that happens, you begin to produce more fruit. But somebody else may have already gotten there before you, and you were only producing 30, and they were already at 100. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing. You worry about you, and that's it. Now, but this good ground, I talked about, you got to put some good organic material in there, right? You got to get some fertilizer, some manure. There's got to be a little bit of rot. That's why I said some of the most fertile ground is in the forests. Because in the forest, there's death. The tree falls, it dies, it goes back. The plant from the spring died in the winter, and it went back. The leaves, they fell, and a little while later, they finally did decompose. But then new life sprang up. See, people who go through life, they're going to experience things. Just because Jesus was telling us right up there about the trials and tribulations, they all went through it. We're all going to go through trials and tribulations. There's going to be something in our lives that's going to kind of come up to devastate us. But in the end, sometimes you got to go through a lot of crap. You get a lot of it in your life. I know sometimes it feels like we get a little bit more than we bargained for. But you've got to understand, we're all in that same boat. We've all had betrayals. Things that really hurt. But Jesus said, if you'll forgive, if you'll seek the Holy Spirit for understanding, if you'll keep yourself in the Word, you'll become a fruitful, producing Christian. And that's what we're called to do. By the way, the 30, 60, and the 100 even doesn't mean that you're going to always produce 100. Not every crop produces the same yield. It all depends on the crop. And just like Kim said earlier, all the churches she goes to, we're all different. We all have a different purpose. And when we understand that and we allow God to work in us, we can go out and we can produce a harvest not even knowing, Or we can plant a seed and not even know it. By the way, here's what I loved. And he said, and one, a sower went out. A sower. We always think, you know, with our farming practices, I'd say at least here in the last 100 years or so, it was generally the same guy that tilled the ground was the same guy that planted the seed was the same guy who harvested the seed. But they put it, a sower went out and the harvesters came. So there were different crews. There were different people that came into life. The Bible gives us the fivefold ministry. And they're all the same. They're all equal in authority. But there's one who actually tends it. That's the pastor. The others, they're the ones that come through with their chisel plows. And they kick up those big, that's why there's so many rocks. There was a spring harrow that came through. And you could watch the rocks flip up in the air when they came through. That's why there are basketball-sized rocks in that field right now. Because when they came back through to straighten it up, it caught those rocks and flipped them up. That is like an evangelist that's supposed to be coming. The apostle goes through and plows. The evangelist comes through, starts getting the rocks kicked up. And then there's got to be somebody that comes along and sows the seed. And then there's got to be somebody to help pick out the rocks. And then there's got to be somebody that oversees the thing while it's growing. Somebody who's keeping the critters out of it. My neighbor said he, out of 3 acres of corn, he lost about an acre to the coons and the deer. But you've got to understand that's why God put us all here. My job is my job. My job is not somebody else's job. That is somebody else's job to be doing. They're the ones supposed to be going through. What I always hated, though, is at some point the evangelists got it in their heads that their job was to blow in, blow up, blow out, and leave the pastor dealing with the aftermath. Yeah, that's hogwash. You can come in and preach the word, and if it's really the word and not just your over-theatric preaching, people's lives will be changed. People will get something from it. But if they don't, if they just, I'm just so excited. Okay, what's so exciting? What are you doing about it? Well, I'm not doing anything. By the way, Pastor, I'm not going to be here for the next month. Well, then you kind of missed the point. The blow up was so that you'd get it. But there's a crew that comes through. Just like people at Heartbeat right now, they're sowing the seed. The ground has been opened up a little bit. They've got a crisis. They're in new territory. So they get the chance to, one of them might get a chance to work on the ground a little bit. Another one might come along with the seed. Somebody may come along with a little bit of the water. Well, it didn't happen this year. It's okay, the seed's planted. My great-grandma Hedrick in West Virginia took a little girl to church. Her father was an alcoholic, abusive. The mother chose the next born son over her. But that grandmother, Hedrick, took my mother to church. And my mother got saved. The uncle who was favored talks to the dead. He's a goofball. I won't pull any punches on that. He's a necromancer. And I say that because that old woman took that little girl to church and a seed was sown. Even though this little girl would be married at 16, divorced and remarried, have a baby when she was 18, and wouldn't get saved for another 8 years. But the seed was always there. And that seed kept growing. That seed kept crying out. So if you're somebody saying, well, I've planted the seed, what do? You just keep praying. Prayer makes the difference. Don't think that, well, I'm just, that seed's gone. Wish it good luck. No, pray for it. You sowed the seed, pray for it. It's gonna take root. It may take some trial and tribulation for him to come. My mom had to hit the bottom of herself. And my dad had to hit the same thing. He had to hit that same wall. This is as far as I can go. I had to hit it. This is as far as I can go. So understand, we're all a field. And we've got a harvest to produce. It depends on what we're going to hold on to. What we're going to let go. How much we're going to press in. Amen? All right. Well, praise God. Well, let's stand. But know this also, you know, when you're filling your bottle, pray. It's just a handful of change, but ask God to multiply it. Put it in there. God, bring blessings into their lives. You know, I remember she was talking about how what could have been a catastrophe kind of turned into a blessing with the basement. And I remember when they lost the office front up there over by Grill and Chill. It was kind of devastating. They're like, what do we do? Where do we go? Well, God began opening doors, and now they have their own building. Nobody's going to kick them out. You have to trust God that when things get a little bit dark, He's got a light, just like this building. We either had to renew and spend thousands and thousands of hundreds of thousands of dollars to remodel something that wasn't ours. And God shut all the doors down for me. Thank God I didn't have my toes in them. But He shut the doors and He said, go past that place. And y'all, most of you have been here for 5 minutes, you know the story. I drove up here. There was a car turning into the parking lot. I turned right. The car followed me in. The guy stops, gets out. He's the owner. Rest is, here we are. So understand that. Yeah, there may be some garbage. There may be some trees falling in your life right now. Let them rot. Let them fertilize the soil. Let them make it rich. There's some things in our lives that need to fall. Some things that need to die. Because they're no longer doing us any good. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your word. Now, Father, I pray right now that the seeds that have been sown in times past and even today, Father, that these words that are spoken clearly through this book, the Bible, Father, they bring life if we have the revelation of the Holy Spirit as to what was really behind it, what you meant, what you were trying to do. You see the whole picture, and all we see ourselves is just a faceless blue piece of sky in that puzzle. But Father, you know that without it, the picture is not complete. So Father, help us, one, to see our place, but two, help us also to not tear up the ground where the seed has been planted. Father, I thank you and praise you right now for these people. Lord God, I bless them. I bless them this week as they go about their business, Father, about their jobs. Father, I thank you, you're healing people and touching them. Lord, I thank you that you're moving in everybody's life in Jesus' name. Amen.